morning and welcome to Good to Grow. I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
Denise, we have with us again in our studio today, Oscar Mestiz, Regional Urban Forester with Texas A&M Forest Service. And today we're going to talk all about pruning. You know, it's the winter months. This is the perfect time for us to be thinking about pruning. But Oscar, I don't think that just because it's the time to prune that you have to prune, right?
Exactly. I go pretty much every year, and I teach the Master Gardeners class on tree and tree care. And one of my favorite topics to talk about is pruning, and that's usually the last half of the class. And just like you said, just because it's the time of year to prune, you don't have to prune. And that's one of the things that I always try to teach the class is that it's an art and a science. And the science part we know. We know how to prune, where to prune, and what time to prune and the reasons we prune and, you know, to keep our trees healthy. Because what we have to remember is when you prune a tree, you are wounding that tree. You're literally wounding that tree. And we want to make as minimal and as few wounds on that tree as possible.
Because it does take a while for that wound to recover. And you kind of see that around town where that wood is kind of closing in over that wound itself. And there's a really big potential for trees to get pests or diseases introduced if that wound is too big and open for too long of a period. So really, if you're looking at a tree and say, for example, you have a mature tree in your backyard that really hasn't had any kind of pruning done to it, and now it's oversized. We see a lot of mulberries in this town. That's probably the number one tree that you'll see where people just start hacking that and topping that tree. You know, really, how do you go about that? So now all the leaves are off, and where do you start?
Okay, that's a very good question. Where do we start? First of all, number one question, when is it time to prune my tree? And so I say, in reality, you can prune your tree any time of the year. So if you're doing small removals, small branches, a branch that's broken in a storm, a branch that's knocking your hat off when you're mowing in the summertime,
yeah.
You know, it doesn't hurt. You can take off one branch, two branches any time of the year. That doesn't hurt at all. But the reason that we use the winter for most of our pruning is because of our deciduous trees. All the leaves are off, so you can see the structure of the tree a lot more clearly, you know, to determine what branches need to come off and what branches need to stay and where your issues are. So that's why a lot of times that we prune in the dormant season after all the leaves have fallen off, but just before bud break. So that's the time that we do most of our pruning, because at bud break, the tree is putting all its energy into its new spring growth. So if you prune while the tree's trying to grow, you're severely going to set back that growth and you're going to stunt your tree for that year. So you would wait till after the tree has fully leafed out. If you've missed that winter opportunity, you wait till the leaves have fully leafed out, and then you can go in and do your pruning. So any time of the year, winter is better. And as Denise said earlier, fewer insects are flying in the winter and fewer diseases are out there in the winter. So it's a better time. And with that spring recovery, the tree starts to close. And I'm glad Denise did not use the word heal. We're trying to get that word out of the vocabulary of arborists, and because trees do not heal. They have to compartmentalize and close over the wound. And the smaller the wound, the faster that will happen. The larger the wound, the longer it takes. So if you have a tree that blooms in the springtime, like your say, a flowering red bud or a Mexican buckeye or just any of the spring flowering trees, you want to wait till after they bloom to prune. So that's going to be after they leaf out in the spring, because if you prune them in the winter, you're going to cut off all their blossoms because they put their blossoms on the previous year's growth. So that's, you have to look at your type of tree. What kind of tree do I have? If I have a spring blooming tree and I'll have my spring blooms, wait till after it blooms to prune. And same thing if you have a summer blooming tree or shrub like crepe myrtle. That blooms on the new growth. So you would want to prune that in the winter so that it puts out new growth, because that's one of the tree's responses. I've been pruned. I need to respond, and it'll respond with new growth. So that way you'll have better flowers on your crepe myrtle in the summertime. And then some other questions people always ask is, do I have to put painting on my wound? No, we do not paint our wounds. Here again, science and research has shown that that's not effective. It's not needed. And the only place that our agency recommends painting is in areas where you have the disease oak wilt, which is a fungal disease, and you're pruning an oak tree. So oak wilt doesn't get on elms or ashes and mulberries. It only affects specific oak trees. It's a specific disease to a specific host. So if you prune an oak tree during growing season, mm-hmm. then we say immediately paint that wound. When we say immediately, I mean within 30 seconds, we want that wound covered. Because if you wait half an hour or so, if there's an insect flying around, it's going to be attracted to that wound. And if it has the fungus spores on it, it'll already be on that wound. Or if there's spores floating in the air, it'll have landed on that wound and it could infect the tree or infest the tree, whether it's an insect or disease. So that's the only time we recommend painting. Otherwise, don't worry about painting. It's not needed. What's more important is knowing where to make the proper cut. And what we always advise is to make the cut at the branch collar, just outside the branch collar. So you kind of have to learn what a branch collar is. And that's where the limb attaches, smaller limb attaches to a larger limb. And not all limbs have a branch collar if we have what are called codominant stems, where they're the same size.
Right.
Practice makes perfect. Taking off less is better. So when you're pruning a tree, and we're talking about, say, mature trees, they'd want 25% of living tissue or less should be removed annually on a living tree if it needs to be pruned. And then you guys brought this up. Don't prune the tree just because you think it's that time of year. In my presentations, I have a slideshow, and I practice what I preach. So I show my trees. I've been pruning on them over years, 20-some years now, and I show a series of photos of what I've taken off. And what I like my audience to see when I'm showing these photos is the time period. I may have pruned, you know, in January of 2008, but the next series of slides may have been in 2011 or 2013. So I say you don't have to prune every year. Just look at your tree every year and decide, do I need to prune? And if I do, what do I need to prune?
Right. No, those are really great tips. And really, Oscar, when we talk about a lot of trees have been neglected for a while, too, and you start having these limbs that have very, very narrow angles in between them, they do start rubbing against each other as well, right? And what does that do? Do they kind of start competing for nutrients? Does it just look bad? Is it bad overall for tree health? Or how do we get rid of that? How do you choose? I mean, do you just go there and say, eeny, meeny, miny, mo? or what? You know what?
Sometimes I think some people do, which they should be doing. And I think we mentioned this website, texastreeplanting.tamu.edu. You can go onto that website, and it's not just for planting. It also has a little pruning section on there. And another good website for homeowners and consumers is Trees Are Good, and it's through the International Society of Arboriculture, ISA website. And it's treesaregood.org or .com, but it's a great website to look up pruning mature trees and young trees, because that's different. Like you said, what do you make a decision on? Rule number one, you never top a tree. There is not a professional in the United States of America that is taught to top trees. They may do it, but they're not. It's a no-no in the profession. Topping trees is the last resort to maybe fix a major storm like a hurricane or tornado came through and destroyed the crown of your tree and you want to restore it. But otherwise, you never, never top a tree.
And I mean, so you very briefly just explain what topping a tree is.
Topping a tree is indiscriminately removing a branch at wherever you want, wherever you think you want to do, which could be internodal between the nodes. It could be at a 10-foot height. There's no rhyme or reason. You just say, I want my 30-foot tree. I now want it to be 20-foot tall. So you take off 10 feet. So what that does is you're not cutting back to a point of attachment that where the tree's self-defense system is built in. At those branch collars is where you have a cone of protection that sets up a barrier for any fungal or disease to get in. So that's why the science part is. You know, there was a really famous U.S. Forest Service scientist, Dr. Alex Shigo, for 20-some plus years, did nothing but wound trees purposefully and then go back to see how the trees reacted to those wounds. And so that's where a lot of our science comes from. And then there's Dr. Kim Coder, who's done a lot of research out of Georgia, Dr. Gilman out of Florida. doing some great research out there on pruning. So we want to look at the structure of the tree because we prune, number one, for health. And the last reason we prune is for aesthetics. Mm-hmm. So we're pruning for health and for safety because our trees are in our yards and we have to keep, we don't want them to fall on our cars and our roofs and our neighbors and things. So we prune for health and safety. So we look for branches, like you mentioned, co-dominant stems, mm-hmm. branches with very narrow branch angles. Mm-hmm. That's where the tree, as it grows, grows included bark, and it forms a little wedge inside there, and they will split. You see that a lot in mesquite trees. They have very narrow branch angles, which are angles that are probably less than 30 degrees.
You'll see they'll split in a good windstorm.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the thing, is you got to catch it early. That's why young tree pruning is real important. Mm-hmm. To go and you plant that young tree and walk around it yearly and look for co-dominant stems, look for, you know, the narrow branch angles, look for competing stems, you know, two stems growing in the same direction. Right. Or you said crossing stems, because those stems will cross and rub in the wind and produce a wound. And so we're just looking for good form and structure. And it's hard to teach pruning over the radio here.
Right. It's hard to teach a lot of gardening over the radio, Oscar.
But there are a lot of good illustrations out there, and so educate yourselves. And so, like, if an arbor says I need to do this or do that, you know, you can ask them questions, simple questions. And going back to that treesaregood.org site, it's how to hire an arborist, because ISA certifies arborists so that they have a certification and have to take CEUs. There are several professional societies out there. That's ISA, for International Society of Arboriculture. It's the largest one. And they certify arborists and tree workers in all kinds of different venues. And then you have American Society of Consulting Arborists, ASCA. So that's a good professional organization. And then you have TCIA, Tree Care Industry Association. So if the arborist is a member of those, that's a good start. If they're certified, that's a better mm-hmm. beginning. And in Texas, there are over 1,000 certified arborists. In El Paso, I think we only have, well, there's five that I know of, and only mm-hmm. one that's actually a working arborist. So we need a lot more. I would love to see more of the landscape companies out there that are doing pruning, more of the arborists out there that are doing pruning to become certified, because it just increases your professional profile and right. say, hey, I'm taking these classes. I take continuing education. I'm keeping up with all the latest research. I'm not doing what my grandpa taught me, you know, 50 years ago.
Yeah, right. And I think it's really important, because there are so many potential customers out there with so many questions about pruning, you know, especially the indiscriminate topping that we occasionally see around here, which
way too much.
Really
way too much.
Needs to be banned. So it would be great if we could educate more people to maybe want to become arborists, or to encourage more tree owners to consult arborists when it comes to their pruning. Well, Oscar, give us those websites again so people can learn more about tree care.
There's the texastreeplanting.tamu.edu, and then there's treesaregood.org.
Well, we want to thank again Oscar Mestis, Regional Urban Forester with Texas A&M Forest Service, for coming into the studio today to talk to us about pruning. Thanks, Oscar.
Thank you.
I'm Norma Martinez.
And I'm Denise Rodriguez.
We want to thank you for listening today. And remember that a gardener's shadow is the best way to keep your garden good to grow.